in our lives. Amen. Title of the word is Have You Heard Part 2. You guys remember Have You Heard Part 1? And how can I go into Part 2 if you... No. Anyway, it's what the Spirit has been speaking to my heart is the importance of having ears that can hear the voice of our Father. Is it Amos that talks about a famine in the land for hearing the words of the Lord? And yet the focus in church, and for most of us as we've experienced church, has not been so much on hearing as speaking. People go into seminaries, what? To learn how to preach, how to teach, how to instruct. And there's a reason for that, because speaking is a lot easier than listening. How do you learn to talk? It comes natural, doesn't it? From a baby babbling, then soon speaking words and in sentences. But it takes a lifetime of discipline to really learn how to listen and hear what another is speaking. And so often the emphasis has been on if we can just get enough people out there speaking the word of God. Now that is important. If we get enough sermons, enough preaching, teaching, the world will change. But the truth is, if you have those that are speaking but not able to hear the voice of the Father, the word is not going to have the power in the earth that God intends. For the word of God to be effective, it not only takes a mouth, but more importantly, it takes a pair of ears. And I think the Spirit now is bringing our focus back to learning to be like Mary, finding that place before Him. And it's different for all of us what that means, but it's a place of quiet where your spiritual ears can develop. And you're not simply listening to ideas or just truths coming, but you're learning more and more to recognize the voice of the one speaking to you, the voice of our Father. Deuteronomy talks about how do we live? By everything that comes out of the mouth of God. And more we're going to recognize that spiritual life is recognizing that's what proceeds out of God's mouth. How does it do us any good if our ears are tuned in to what God is speaking? The result is His life coming forth. I think often people come to church, don't they, to hear the word of God? I also think people come to church to hide from God. And I want to clarify this because you think, well, no, you go to church because you want to hear a good sermon, you want to hear the truth. But you know that's not enough. I believe that church and our church experience should be the most anointed time together that it can ever be. I have such faith for these times that God can be so real to us. But I'm here to tell you, this is not enough. We also need that time alone with God, where we learn to recognize His voice. And often people will become a part of a church and they want to hear the truths, but they're still trying to hide from that personal exposure to the Father. Everybody is to have their ears developed to hear the voice of their Father. It doesn't mean that everybody's called to be a prophet or everybody's called to preach or teach. Everybody's called to know their Father's voice and to hear the words of love that He brings forth to their lives. So church is meant to be a time of energizing and helping in that process. But let's not hide behind it and think as long as I'm hearing a sermon a week, I'm okay. The sermon, I pray that the sermon's anointed and blesses your life. But take that and say, okay, Father, how do you choose to speak to me? I want to know you personally. He reveals Himself and speaks in many different ways. And that's why I'm not going to sit up here and say, you need to sit and wait, meditate for an hour and do it this way or that way. You know, there's such a variety of ways that God's Spirit moves on our lives. Just know that everyone is free to know the voice of the Father. That's His desire for you. And if you want it, you find it. Now, everybody here has experienced that, but what I want to encourage you is keep going with it. Let His voice be the loudest voice in your life. What we hear creates what we see. We've had a lot of voices affect us, haven't we? Voices that come up out of our pain, people that have hurt us. If those people are long gone, they're the situations, we're far removed from it, but that voice, that tape still plays, and the pain that we still feel over it. Let me give you an example of what we hear, how it creates what we see. Simple, three words. What's wrong? How many have heard that voice playing in your brain? A voice says, what's wrong? And so when we hear that, we look at everything through that voice. We look at God. What's wrong? God, are you happy with me? Are you upset with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with everybody else? Simple voice creating a whole negative perspective. And instead of seeing a loving God, if you're looking at life, at what's wrong with life, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with everybody else, you're going to see a very stern God. You're going to have an image of God that's not even true. You're going to see a God that is not happy with you, that is demanding things that you can't produce. That's the God, the image of God they had under the law, didn't they? Do you see how a voice playing in your subconscious creates the visual, the images? It creates the perspective that you live with. Matthew 3:17 talks about Jesus when he was being baptized. What happened? What voice? Let me return to that. Matthew 3:17 real quick. Let me read it to you. Verse 16 says, after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. Okay, now picture yourself there watching this happen. You're seeing something very special take place. But what does it mean? Who knows? It's something supernatural. Until there's the voice, you don't know what it means. But the voice, verse 17, a voice out of the heavens saying, a voice out of the realm of God's Spirit, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, you're looking at this supernatural being, and then the voice says, here's what this means. This is my own Son. I'm really happy with him. All of a sudden, because of the voice, you're able to look and see Jesus correctly. Who is this person that's come here? He's the Son of God, God's own Son. God really loves him. He's here to convey that love to us. So hearing the voice is so important. Whatever voices we hear and give our attention to and give ourselves over to, those voices will create the awareness that rules our minds. Now, do you see why it's so important more and more to be hearing our Father's voice? What is the image we're to have of God? Well, I don't even want to say image. I think religion creates images. All the different voices that play in our brain create images. But his voice creates reality, personal living relationship with him. How do you view the days we're in right now? The world is chaotic, full of problems, wars everywhere, things not working out. And you know, often when things get worse in the world, what do you hear from the church? Judgment's here. God's going to destroy all the evil. You get this dire forecast. We're in the time of tribulation. I'm not saying those things aren't happening. What I'm saying is when all these things are happening in the world and we don't feel in control, we become afraid. And fear creates an awareness. And in that awareness is judgment, an angry God, and better get with it or you might be left behind, and all these things we've experienced probably in our past. But who is the Father in this day? Can we really read or get a true picture of God by looking at world events? What did he say here? He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. I love him. How about a father that's looking at this messed up planet and saying, these are my children. Because of my Son Jesus, I'm one with them. I just want them to wake up in my loving arms. I want fellowship with them. See, that's the voice of the Father. What does it create? It creates the awareness of God in you and what he truly desires. It's a love relationship. Isaiah, the prophecy, what about our God, our Maker? What does it also say in Isaiah? Our husband. This is a marriage relationship. His voice creates in us the awareness of the true relationship we have with him. Sermons don't create that. Somebody else's revelation doesn't create that. You hearing from the Father in your heart and spirit creates that true awareness of what you mean to God. And I think it's very much like the prodigal son. We're looking and saying, I was talking with Terry about this, and Terry was saying how, you know, it's like both sons. They both missed the boat. The younger one went out and squandered everything. The older one was self-righteous right there and didn't benefit from being physically close to his father. But the story of the prodigal son really is not about the sons. It's about the father. What's his response? Open arms welcoming his younger son back and his older son too. That's God's stance, I believe, in this day and hour. He wants his children to know how much they're loved by him and how he's holding us in his arms, how he desires fellowship with us. On the road to Emmaus, do you remember what happened? They're walking along with this person, and they're all upset about what took place, and he's talking to them. And at a certain point, he goes back to them in the house and says their eyes were open, and they realized this is the Lord, right? But what did they say? They said, weren't our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us? Okay, there was a point where an awareness was created where they saw in the Spirit. But the prelude to that was they were hearing. Even though they didn't catch on with their minds, they recognized they were hearing from the Father. That's why their hearts were burning. It wasn't the words that were being spoken. It was the source of those words. We get so preoccupied with content. That's our mind. The sermon, what does it mean? Figuring things out. The quest for knowledge. The power of the Spirit is not just in what the content of what's being spoken. It's the source. When it comes from God, it's living. A person could stand up here and do a nursery rhyme. Mary had a little lamb. If the Father's speaking, Mary had a little lamb, you're going to be blessed. Someone can stand up here and go into all the types and shadows of the Old Testament and what they mean and this and that. If God's not speaking it, maybe your mind will be entertained with some good knowledge. Nothing wrong with that. But it's not living if it doesn't come from the Father. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. There we go. Romans 10:17 says what? We've already heard this once today in the prophetic flow. So faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. What I want us to recognize is hearing creates the place for the spiritual dimension to be revealed in our life. Now, we all have this spiritual dimension. We all have this place where the divine, the treasure lives. But hearing creates the place for that dimension to be real and realized. I don't really care what I have in theory. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I belong to the Father. You know, that's great. But what matters to me is, on this earthly journey, how real can the realm of his Spirit and heaven and the Father be in my life and in our lives? Faith comes from hearing. Okay? As we are able to hear the Father, what does it do? It creates the dimension of faith. How many here struggle with faith? We try to believe. We make it a mental thing. Got to believe the word of God. Then the fears come up and they're contrary. Oh no, I'm not believing. I'm double-minded. I won't be blessed. We get into this. We're our worst enemy. We get into this battle of fighting the earthen vessel, you know, trying to make ourselves something other than human. Like we're not supposed to have these struggles. You can be experiencing doubt and fears. It doesn't mean there's not faith active within you. And when we get in this personal battle of trying to battle with our fears, we become more fearful and more anxious. Let's listen. When you find yourself in that battle, that's not your home. Your home is in the heart of your Father. Jesus came and prepared a place for you to abide. When you start hearing all those voices that make you afraid, say, Father, I need to hear your voice. And when we listen to the voice of our Father, faith is created within our life, his faith. John chapter 10, verse 3. I love this verse. Jesus is talking about being, as he is, the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear what he has to say, hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, what I want us to pay attention to is it's not just what he is saying. Jesus, if you tell me to go to point A, I'll go to point A. Point B, I'll go to point B. We're also concerned, as we need to be obedient to his word as it unfolds in our life. What this is talking about is God's sheep recognize the source of the words, the voice. And what happens when we hear the voice and recognize the voice? The reality is we're led by the Spirit. We follow the Lamb. Now, how many times have we thought about the struggle of following the Lamb with us wherever he goeth? And then we look at our lives and how we want to go 10 different directions, and that spiritual struggle and tension of wanting to do the will of God and our flesh going 1,000 different ways. All these battles, as we listen and recognize his voice, the heart follows. Being led by the Spirit does not have to be as hard as we make it. It's not trying to get our minds and emotions and wills in line so we can do the things that God wants us to do. It's hearing his voice so that we can be empowered. And as our heart follows, we end up doing what he wants us to do. Our mind, our emotions, our will fall into place in the right, I think, the right order. If our heart recognizes his voice and is following. But if we're not recognizing his voice, what are we doing? We're struggling with our humanity, trying to use our willpower, our human resources to change how we are. It's just, to me, a futility. It doesn't work, does it? But when our heart is activated, we hear the voice of the shepherd. He leads us out, the heart's in motion, following because his voice is alive to us. That gives us leverage. What happens? He's Lord. His lordship is operating in our lives. And you find your mind, your emotions, your will submit. I want to look at a few ways his voice affects us. Numbers chapter 22. We can read this later. I haven't been here in a long time. Story of Balaam. You remember the story? Who was the army that was after Israel at that point? Moab, the nation of Moab, was trying to get Balaam to curse Israel because Israel had just won this big victory. They were afraid. And, of course, we don't have to go into the whole history, but Balaam's on a donkey. And he's doing what he's not supposed to be doing. And the angel of the Lord is standing there, and the donkey can see. And it's trying to get out of the way. And Balaam's getting frustrated and so angry with this donkey, beating it. And let's go to I'll just start with verse 30. The donkey said to Balaam, finally, the donkey speaks. Am I not your donkey in which you've ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside these three times. Verse 33, chapter 22. If he had not turned aside, you would have been killed. Verse 34, Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Okay, so it goes on from there. Problem with his voice and the way it affects us is it humbles us and alters our course. And if you're in a place where you say, I want God's voice to lead me, you also are saying, I'm willing to be humbled. I'm willing to have my plans changed, my course altered. Balaam had something in his mind. He had a purpose. He was going somewhere. And God was trying to get through to him and couldn't get through to him. And finally, God spoke through his donkey. to awaken him that he needed to go another direction. Often people, I think, get in the self-righteous attitude, well, you know, God, if he comes down from the mountain and I see the burning bush, then I'll change my mind about things. I'll tell you what, we need to be humble and open because God will speak to us. And sometimes it's from a place that we least likely are looking for it. Sometimes he speaks to our partner, our marriage, our husband, our wife. And if we're upset, that's the last person we want to hear God's voice through, right? Our child. There's so many different ways God can speak, but we need to be in a humble place, just like Balaam. I think it was pretty humbling for this prophet to have his animal telling him what God wanted to do. But that's the way of the Spirit, isn't it? To say we want your voice is also to say, Lord, we're willing to be humble, and whichever way you speak to us, however you want to speak to us, through other people, through our circumstances, we're going to be listening. We give you permission to change our mind about things, change our course. His voice also awakens us from our human state of denial and our religious state of denial. Kind of the pretend world we like to create for ourselves. And boy, church is a perfect place for that, right? 2 Samuel chapter 12, you know what that's about? Nathan the prophet confronting David over sin with Bathsheba. David's ears heard. He didn't hear what he wanted to hear, did he? Nathan said, you're the man. Psalm 51, David's response, against you and you alone have I sinned, oh my God. Wanting to hear his voice means we're willing to let go of that denial, that pretend state that we so easily run to, our defenses. We're also saying, Lord, we want to hear the truth, even if it's hard to hear. His voice will speak the truth to you. And if our ears are open, often we'll be saying, yes, Lord, I'm the one. You know you're not hearing God's voice when it's always somebody else, isn't it? And we can be so good at analyzing everybody else's faults. And God told me this about you, and God told me that about you. And, you know, the mind can just play such tricks. You know you're hearing the voice of your Father when you're confronting the log in your own eye before trying to remove the speck from your brother and sister. His voice transforms us from the soulish state of awareness into the spiritual realm. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, isn't it? He said to me, verse 4, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Okay? It's not enough just to prophesy. It didn't matter just how much anointing Isaiah had. The bones, the human state, the human soulish state, as much as we try to make it some wonderful thing, it's dry bones compared to the life we have in him. Hear, the bones need to hear the voice of the Father. And what happens? When we hear, God says, I'll put breath in you that you can come alive. Verse 6, you will know that I am the Lord. That's the process of his voice, isn't it? We're in this soulish state of death and we don't even recognize it. We start hearing his voice. And we've experienced the breath of God. Remember in John, Jesus turned to the disciples and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's the flow of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. And as that breath comes forth, we live. And these bones became a mighty army before the Lord. That's how we live before him. It all starts by hearing the voice and that living word coming forth. One other place, and you can read about this later in Acts chapter 9, with Paul's conversion. What happened when he was confronted? He heard a voice. Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Acts chapter 9. Saul was on this course, a very soulish, religious course. He thought he was doing the will of God. He was fighting the will of God. And a voice convicts him. He's left blind after that. What's the result of this? Remember where the voice of God transforms us? Doesn't sound like a transforming experience to me. Here's this voice, and all of a sudden his sight is taken away. This mighty religious man is left to have to follow someone else. He can't even see where he's going. Yet the voice of God comes. It can cause temporary blindness for us when we lose control of things. Our mind can't figure things out. But what's happening? His voice is leading us, transforming us. Because what happened to Paul? He came into a revelation of who Jesus Christ is and was. Mighty revelation of the grace of God, of what new covenant life, of what the purpose of the cross and resurrection was all about. So when God's voice is coming to us, it can be convicting, it can cause temporary blindness, and what I mean by that is our minds cannot figure things out and we feel confusion, we feel lost. But the result is, when it's his voice, is a deeper revelation of who the Lord is. One last scripture in closing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. We're just going to look, actually two more, I'll do this quick. In Matthew 13, 18, the parable of the sower. Jesus said, when one hears the word of the kingdom, we're talking about our hearing now, and does not understand it, Matthew 13, 19, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what has been sown beside the road. Hearing without understanding, hearing without revelation. This is where our minds get in the way. We're listening to the voice of the Father, and what do? We try to analyze the content and figure out how we can make it happen. As he speaks to us by his voice, our cry is, Father, let it be revelation. The understanding we need is the revelation that comes by his Spirit. Whenever our minds get in control, the word goes to the side, doesn't it? When our hearts are listening, and our mind is submitted to him, and revelation comes, the word bears fruit. The second thing it talks about, the seed being sown on the rocky places. Verse 20, this is the one that hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but he has no firm root in himself, is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Okay, the word falling in, and there's joy. There's an emotional response to the word, isn't there? Yeah, the word of God, this is great. But when the word of God goes down, like in Hebrews 4, dividing soul from spirit and doing its work, there's not the depth. And it falls away. Hearing his word also, it goes deeper than the emotional experience of being delighted that God is speaking. That's good. But it's saying, Lord, anything I hear has to go to the very depth of my being if it's going to bear fruit. Letting the word do what God has sent it forth to do. Not just saying, God, you're speaking, amen, but God, you're speaking, do unto me according to your word. The last thing it talks about, the word falling among the thorns, in verse 22, this is the one who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. This also, I think, has to do with our will being pulled many different directions. The word comes and our will wants other things. And what can happen? Again, the power can be diluted. When the word comes to our heart, that's when we want to make that statement and continue to make it, not my will, but thine be done. That single focus. Because that word of God requires that. To hear with the focus means the word's going to go inside. You're not going to be pulled away because of all the things you want. But focusing on the word and saying, thy will be done, it's able to bring forth the fruit that God wants. Hebrews 12, 26. You're familiar with this verse. His voice shook the earth then. Now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Yet once more denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, of all created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Okay. His voice comes, he shakes our earth. What's the point of it? so that what cannot be shaken, his realm, the realm of his spirit, his lordship, his kingdom, be our experience. I think we have a wrong idea about shaking. Do you sometimes picture shaking as kind of like a upset parent with a child? Kind of, that'd be abusive. Do not do this at home with your children. But, you know, kind of like, what's wrong with you? Now, the only problem with having an image of God in that way is that we see God as being all-powerful, but not all-loving. It's kind of like he's looking down at what he's created, our earth, and saying, get with it. Do you relate to the shakings in your life that way? That, oh, what's wrong with me? I got to get with it here. I got to please God. You know, he must be upset with me. My life's being shaken apart. No. When his voice is heard, it brings forth the realm of who he is. And when the divine hits the earthly, shaking is automatic. It's automatic earthquakes. When the realm of spirit invades the natural plane is shaken. It's not that we've done anything wrong. That's just how it happens. Your life isn't being shaken because God's upset with you. Your life is being shaken because he is living in you. He's becoming more.